وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك حضرة مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate you in rank. آمين. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, discussing the martyrs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned their great position in the noble Quran. It is also stated that every sin of a martyr is forgiven except what is due to other people. Even though the excellence of the martyr and shaheed is so great, as mentioned above, the dues that he owes to others will not be waived. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, a martyr and shaheed is forgiven for everything except his debts. The requirement of sincerity in jihad and religious war. To acquire the rank of a martyr and shaheed, it is imperative that a person engages in battle against the enemies of Islam solely for the pleasure of Allah. He should have been killed while fighting only for the elevation of Allah's deen and religion. Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala narrates that once a person asked the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding a person who fights in a battle to gain the booty, or one who does so for fame, or to accrue accolades for his valor. He wished to know whom from amongst these can be said to be in Allah's path. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, the one who strives for the deen and the religion of Allah to reign supreme is in the path of Allah. According to another narration, someone inquired from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about a person who fights to display his valor, another who fights for the honor of his tribe or nation, while yet another fights to show off. He wished to know which of these persons are in the path of Allah. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, the one who strives for the deen of Allah to reign supreme is in the path of Allah. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever is injured in the path of Allah, and Allah alone knows who is truly injured in his path, will appear in such a condition before Allah on the day of judgment that his wound will still be bleeding, although the color will be of blood, but the fragrance will be of musk. The phrase, and Allah alone knows who is truly injured in his path, alludes to this very same aspect of sincerity, which is so imperative for every act of worship. Man can only see the superficial aspect of any action. Its acceptance depends upon the intention. If it was carried out solely to please Allah, it will be accepted, the due reward attained, and the promised benefits gained. On the contrary, if any action is performed with the intention of showing off, then not only will the reward be lost, but it will be a source of harm in the hereafter, which will ultimately cause one to enter hell. A person killed in a tribal feud or a national war is not termed a martyr and a shaheed. Today, numerous wars and disputes rage around the world, and people are continually being killed. The wars are usually fought for national, territorial, or linguistic reasons. The pleasure of Allah is not even considered. Even though a person dying in these battles may be termed a shaheed by the people, the true martyr is the one whom Allah deems as such. Nowadays, it is commonplace to use the term national martyr, a shaheed, and these may even be publicized, but using these terms for non-believers and apostates is absolutely ignorance. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from going astray. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. Most assuredly, we will test you with a bit of fear, hunger, and a deficiency in wealth, life, and provisions. So give glad tidings to the patient ones. They are those who, when any adversity befalls them, they say, "Verily, to Allah do we belong, and to Him is our return." These are the ones upon whom the collective and special mercies of Allah descend, and who are rightly guided. Various ways of trials and tests. This world is a place of trials. The creation of life and death is in itself aimed at testing the human. As Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Mulk, "Sanctified is that being in whose control is sovereignty and who is capable of all things. He who created death and life to test amongst you who carries out the best actions." Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala states in Surah Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "Most definitely, we will examine you until it is ascertained who are the ones who truly strive in Allah's path from amongst you, and who are the ones who endure, and that we may have knowledge of you." In the verse under discussion, numerous methods of emphasis are employed in the form of the letters Lam and Nun Thaqila. These imply that the tests are inevitable. Sometimes they will occur in the form of fear. At times, one will encounter hunger, while it may also happen that one's wealth will decrease. Lives of friends, relatives, children, or grandchildren may be lost, while sometimes produce and provisions may decrease. In this verse, all the main categories of calamities have been enumerated: fear of enemies, droughts, floods, earthquakes, loss in trade, collapse of buildings, theft, misplacement of wealth, its destruction, closing down of factories, shutting down of machinery, power failures, death of near and dear ones, spread of pestilence, deficiency in harvest, the destruction, the infestation by insects, plagues of locusts. Inference is made to all of these. The believer, the mu'min, perseveres through all of these. In the face of any adversity, he realizes that it is a test from Allah and remains content with the decision of Allah, aspiring for the rewards promised for it. Tribulations also occur as an admonition for any sins committed or as an atonement for any evil deeds. It may also be a test or a means of elevating a person's rank. All these facts are clearly expounded in the Quran and Ahadith of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The benefit of calamities to the believer, to the mu'min. A verse of Surah Nisa states, "Whosoever perpetrates an evil act shall meet its retribution." The books of Hadith and Tafsir report that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala once asked, "O the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is there any way to salvation after the revelation of this verse?" Since every evil deed will be accorded its punishment, the Holy Prophet ﷺ replied, O Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, may Allah be merciful to you. Do you never fall ill? Does not any difficulty nor any grief afflict you? Does no calamity befall you? He responded, definitely these things do occur. The Holy Prophet ﷺ then said, by means of all this, your sins are removed. In another narration, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have told him, O Abu Bakr, you and your companions will receive atonement for your sins in this very world, so that you may meet Allah in a condition that no sin remains to your account. As for the kafir, the non-believer, all his sins will be accumulated, so that he receives their full chastisement in the hereafter. In Surah Shura, the verse 30, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the adversities that afflict you are a result of the deeds you earn, and Allah pardons a great deal. Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the little or great difficulty which a person encounters is due to his sins. But what Allah overlooks is much more. Thereafter, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the verse, the adversities that afflict you are a result of the deeds you earn, and Allah pardons a great deal. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala reports that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah afflicts that person with difficulty for whom he intends good. Another hadith reads, whenever Allah fixes a high rank for his servant, which he cannot attain by his actions, Allah afflicts him with a difficulty. Allah then affords him the endurance, implementing which he becomes worthy of that particular rank. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu also narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whatever difficulty afflicts a believer will be an atonement for his sins, whether it be a sickness, worry, grief, or even a thorn prick. Sayyidina Umm Sa'ib radiallahu ta'ala anha was a lady sahabiya. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam found her ill one day and asked her what was the cause of her condition. She replied that it was fever and cursed it. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not curse the fever, because it eradicates the sins of people just as a furnace eradicates dirt from metal. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when Allah intends good for any servant, he speeds up the punishment in this world. On the contrary, when Allah intends harm for a person, he withholds the punishment which will be fully given to him, to that person on the day of judgment. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the believer and mu'min, male and female, constantly experience difficulties in their lives, wealth and children, until they meet Allah in such a condition that no sins remain in their account. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu transmits the hadith in which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Muslim who loses three children will be made to enter heaven on account of the mercy which Allah bestows upon these children. Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that once the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed a group of women. Amongst other advices given, he said, the person who loses three small children will have them become a barrier for him or her on the day of judgment. A woman asked concerning the person whose two children had passed away. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded by saying, when one loses two children, then this will also give the same benefit. Sayyidina Mu'az ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the couple who loses three children will be made to enter Jannah in heaven by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. The companions are queried regarding the loss of two children To which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "The same applies for them too." Someone then asked regarding one child, to which the reply was given that the same would apply to them as well. Then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam added, "I swear by the being in whose control lies my life, that even the unformed fetus will pull its mother into the heavens, into Jannah, if the mother had aspired for her reward at the time of its death. No difficulty or calamity should be a cause of fear and grief to a believer. It is a source of good for him, since a little difficulty in this temporary world will be a source of evading chastisement in the hereafter and reaping its bounties. This can only be to a person's benefit and is a cheap bargain. One is required to be patient, aspire for the rewards, and to be content with the decision of Allah. This does not mean that a person should not ask Allah to remove the difficulty, since such a supplication was a practice of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One should always ask Allah for safety from all troubles and never ask Allah to afflict one with calamities and diseases. If it does come, one should be tolerant." May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice sabr, patience and qana'at in our lives, contentment. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast on his deen. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.